Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Thursday morning. Alex Stroh, Mark Tomorrow, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you. Sources close to the program tell me our next guest called me and Chewy idiots.
Yeah, he answered the phone and said, "You guys are idiots." I said,
"Yeah."
"Ah, you were listening."
Fantastic. We welcome in the 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the co-host of Wilde and Tausch, live at Pottawatomie Sportsbook today. Jason Wilde, ghost believer or non-ghost believer, joins us. Jason, good morning.
Well, let's not let Joshy off the hook here. When I say you guys are idiots, let's not pretend it's just you and Chewy.
Yeah.
He's in the mix.
I know you respect Joshy's mental acumen, so I figured maybe he got the pass.
I have the tendency to be an idiot just like you guys, and I will admit that freely.
Right, just like, you know, you can believe in ghosts, or you can believe in wanting your 16 minutes of your life back that you just spent listening to you guys. So,
I take that as a no, Jason. That's a no.
No, it's not a no. Actually, it's a, I am. There are too many stories of people, and look, we had our wedding at the Pfister. I love the Pfister. I am frankly disappointed, like you were, at that resort that you didn't get haunted when you were there. Like, I want to run into the ghosts of Christmas past at the Pfister. So I have not experienced it, but I think there are enough people that tell stories that don't seem like complete idiots that make me wonder if there's not some, you know, kind of being trapped between our world and the afterlife. Now, I will say this. I can't, you know, it's been a good 56-year run for you, but I am terrified of death. Like, really? I don't know how you're not. Like, that's, like, you know, I went to Lutheran grade school and high school, and I believe in God. But these folks that I would be around when I was growing up who would say that they don't fear death and they, you know, they'll get to go to heaven and be with Jesus. Great. I want to go to heaven too. I'm just not in any rush to get there. I'd like to stay here as long as I possibly can. And the idea of I'm not afraid, like if I run too fast, which, you know, Alex can understand what this feels like. And I start to feel like a chest pain. I'm like, oh my God, am I having a heart attack? Like I am a total hypochondriac. Because I am terrified of this. So
what's Jason? What's going to happen to you? Let's say when you're 80s, will you be paralyzed by it? You think?
I feel like once you get to that point, then you're kind of feeling like, hey, I'm playing with house money, right?
Okay.
Like I think you get past, like, I would say 80 would be the house money point.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like Junior Bridgman passing away this week, like 71.
Sad.
When I was a kid, 71 seemed ancient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now at 53, I am praying that I do way better than 71, right? So
yeah.
The idea, you know, when I talk to Ron Wolf, for example, he's like 85 now, still sharp as a tack. Like I certainly hope that I A, get there, and B, can have conversations like he does when I talk to him. Like that's the goal, obviously, right? And I should probably eat less ice cream if I want to do that. But I don't think I'll be paralyzed by it then, but I'm definitely, there's a little bit of paralysis now.
You know what my weird measure is, Jason? It's Super Bowl 31, because it was such a great part of my life, and that'll be 2 years from now, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving forward 30 years, probably going to be dead. And that seemed like yesterday to me. You know?
Yeah.
Do you have something like that in your life where that's the measure and you're like, holy cow, that was 30 years ago?
Well, and obviously as a dad, you know this feeling too. Like, you know, Maddie, we got an email last week for Maddie to be old enough for classroom driver's ed. And I was like, oh, I mean, I used profanity actually when I read it because I was like, holy blank. Yeah. Like, she was five yesterday, and now she's going to go take driver's ed. Like, I look back on some of the seasons that I covered, and it's weird. They feel both a really long time ago and like they're yesterday, if that's even possible. But, like, Super Bowl 31, that's a great example. Like, I have very vivid memories of that week in New Orleans and you knuckleheads being up on a balcony, and I'm in the Brett Favre Sports Century saying that we were walking through the French Quarter and we saw you idiots up there on the balcony, and that was, we didn't know that the NFL had lifted his drinking ban.
Well, and they really didn't.
Okay, well there you go. And my big line in the Sports Century is, and I was wondering what's in that cup. I'm sure it was. But, like, I remember that so clearly, and yet, like you said, that is forever ago. It's crazy.
I know.
Jason Wilde with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Mark Chamorro, Alex Dorf, Chachi DiMaggio hanging out with you. Jason, Cooper Kupp, apparently a couple reports saying the Packers could be interested in the veteran wide receiver services following his release from the Rams yesterday. It just doesn't feel like a Goody signing, but I guess I don't know what feels like a Goody signing anymore. What do you make of these reports? You think it's realistic?
Oh, you still know what a Goody signing is. And yeah, I don't look, first of all, I'd rather talk about sleeping in the guest room, but I'm very curious. This would be an out of character signing. Now it also would be, the GM is taking the idea of, hey, we have to ramp up our urgency. We got to compete for championships, and who better to sign than a guy that's been a Super Bowl MVP that Fleur is familiar with, that Matt LaFleur's brother coached last year. So he would certainly have insight, just like Matt can give Mike LaFleur insight into Devontae. But I'm with you. Like, this feels like, the one thing I don't want to do, and I you guys heard me say this about the Devontae thing, you know, realizing in the end that Goody had literally zero interest in him, like not even enough to place a phone call, that I don't want to get our fans' hopes up. I don't want to be the guy that basically does the, hey, what's that on your shirt? Boop! And poke you in the nose about stuff. Like, and so when it comes to Cooper Kupp, like, there are some connections that make you think, okay, I guess I can see this, but like you just said, when you look at the reality of what Goody does, like, are we just being, for lack of a better term, idiots, thinking that he's going to sign guys that are over 30 that have injury histories? Like, is he going to trade for Trey Hendrickson? He doesn't have an injury history, but again, he's going to be 31 during the season. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of pass rushers, the numbers just aren't there. Like, Khalil Mack is one of the exceptions that proved the rule. And he wasn't going anywhere near him, I'm sure, even though he tried to trade for him in 2018. So I'm never going to say never, like Homer with a 0% or 100%, but this feels very unlikely to me. And if it happens, great. Because I still think whether it's Devontae Adams or Cooper Kupp or whoever it might be, that room, especially with, you know, Christian Watson, who I think is the clear-cut leader of the group, even though he's certainly not an old player, and he certainly hasn't been durable enough to be on the field as much as they'd like him to be. He's the clear-cut leader in that room, but he could use some help there. And a guy that's done what Cooper Kupp has done, or a guy like Devontae and what he's done, would be a really good fit for this team. I just don't see it as a likelihood.
Jason, we played your clip the other day from your show where you were talking to an individual high up in the Packer organization telling you that the Max Crosby deal is not dead. So yesterday, I told this to Adam Schefter, and he looked at me like I was crazy, which was your kind of reaction when said individual said this to you. My question is, what do you think said individual's motivation was for telling you this?
Yeah, I think it was wishful thinking, right? And I hope, Adam is far more plugged in than me. But I even said to this person when I was talking to him, come on. They just gave him $91 million guaranteed. Well, I'm just saying, I'm hearing it's not a done deal or whatever he said. And I was like, okay, well, I think once a guy has signed a contract and a team has made the commitment, that I think it's a done deal, man. So, again, the reason I mentioned it is that this is the time of year where people hope for things to happen or convince themselves. We're probably guilty of doing it right now, except this guy actually hasn't signed with a team when we talk about Cooper Kupp, right? Probably guilty of getting our hopes up for very little logical reason. So I hope it didn't come across. Otherwise, Adam's going to think I'm an idiot. I hope.
Do you think he was gas lamping you?
Gas lamping?
What?
I love the gas. Yeah,
you've never heard that term.
Define gas lamping.
Yeah, go ahead, Chew. What's gas lamping?
I don't know what it is. I just everyone's like, oh, that's a gas lamp. You gas lamped them. I don't even. But it sounds like this would be a gas lamp.
That's also not what people say, but that's all right.
What do they say?
Gaslight.
I don't think I was being. I don't think it was gaslighting. I think it was wishful thinking. I said as much. Now, again, I here's the thing. Like, I think there are probably lots of folks in that building, and this is why I said, because I saw every time I say something interesting, it ends up on social media, and then I got to deal with people who don't they read the little clip, what it says about the clip, and they don't even bother. Like, it's 2 minutes, man. Like, take the 2 minutes to get at least some of the full picture of what I said. But, like, I when I say this, I'm sure Josh is going to cut it up. But, like, I know that there are people that work in the building that would love to have Trey Hendrickson on their team. Don't care how old he is, but they know that Jeff Hafley last year was conjuring up a pass rush that their guys were not good enough last year. I mean, Goody said that publicly, so I don't have to hide that fact. But that Trey Hendrickson would probably be worth the risk to those people. And whether or not Goody does that, this is how I got into trouble with Jim, Matt, and Molly. Like, I don't think Goody and LaFleur have, like, a really bad relationship. I think there was a time when there was some, frustration or friction there that LaFleur had really, he didn't have any interest in what LaFleur had to say. I think that's better now. But just because your coaches want you to trade for a soon-to-be 31-year-old pass rusher doesn't mean the general manager is going to do it. So, again, I think that what probably fuels that more than anything else, if we're being totally honest, whether it's the Max Crosby thing or hoping that they make a deal for Hendrickson, is that they know that their pass rush wasn't good enough and that they watched the Super Bowl and they, frankly, watched the playoff game they played against the Eagles and saw how much having a front four that can get pressure on their own opens things up for your defense. And that's what Jeff Hafley wants. And obviously everybody wants that as a defensive coordinator. But all the simulated pressures and everything else that he had to conjure up, I had a conversation with LaFleur late in the year, and one of the things that he praised Hafley up and down for was figuring out a way to create pressure given the way that front four was performing. So, whether it's realistic or not, I think that those guys that on the coaching staff are clearly hoping that something bolsters the pass rush.
So, but hearing you say that, Jason, it makes me wonder. And look, I get free agency as a crapshoot. I get that you're dealing with bidding wars and probably overpaying free agents. But it surprises me they didn't address the defensive line in any capacity via free agent this free agency this week. Does that surprise you as well?
Well, look, the thing that surprised me, and let's back up, because the things that should not surprise us are the contracts that Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, A.J. Dillon signed or agreed to. Those sent a very clear message, right? The Packers did not want them back because those are popcorn money contracts. They are easy. If they really wanted them back, they could have easily paid that. The money that they paid to Aaron Banks, I am really, really curious to see how that signing works out, because that is a lot of money, and I know it was a depressed guard market, and they really felt like they had to address the offensive line. I mean, I think, you know, you talk about being haunted by ghosts. The ghost of Lincoln Financial Field and Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford trying to protect Love against that front four after Elgton Jenkins leaves after four snaps. That's haunting them. And that's how you end up paying what they did for Aaron Banks, I think. But in terms of the pass rush, like, again, those guys, let's be honest, pass rushers are going to get overpaid in free agency, right? We can agree on that?
Yep.
Like, you're not going to find a real bargain. You're going to hope that maybe in, you know, April or May or June, you know, a guy gets cut after a team drafts a guy high and you're able to snag him. But I don't have a problem with them not addressing pass rusher, because I look at what the going rate was for guys that were not super productive. I mean, I get it, but they have to get better there. And I know Goody made the comment that he thinks they can get better from within, and that these guys in their second year in the system will be that much better. You know, Kenny Clark had never played in a 4-3 in his life before last year. But there's no doubt that that is a major area where they have to be better. But, and you're right, they haven't done anything to make it better.
But, Jason, real quickly, I mean, this was still, I believe, a top 10 offensive line. I would have paid Josh Myers $3.5 million. It's kind of your Bruce Wilkerson. That's fine. And then put that $80 million into a pass rusher or a receiver. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? Because, look, when you come, especially, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I said to him in the press conference after the season that the signings of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney weren't just home runs, they were grand slams. Mm-hmm. And Goody said, well, thank you, I appreciate that. Well, yeah, it's the truth. But I'm not saying that about these two, right? Like, Nate Hobbs, you can put together a highlight reel of him hitting guys and breaking up passes. Great, that's what he's supposed to do. But, again, he's got an injury history, he's got a DUI, he's got some inconsistent play based on people that watched him. So that's not a slam dunk. And there's nothing sexy about signing a left guard. And they still are going to have to continue to address that group, because we all assume they're going to re-sign Zach Tom. But he's one of three guys that are coming up for new contracts on your offensive line. You just going to let Sean Ryan walk and start with somebody else there? Are you going to let – I mean, I don't even know. Are they going to try and give Jordan Morgan another shot at winning the left tackle job? Because that never materialized last year. But the dude's a first-round pick. So they got to figure out how to get him on the field. And as of right now, they didn't really create a spot for him in the starting lineup by paying Aaron Banks. And that was the reason why it surprised me, is that even if you let Josh Myers walk, which I fully expected them to do, then I figure you move Elton, you plug in Jordan Morgan at left guard, and then you draft some guys that you're going to develop. So I did not have a $77 million guard on my bingo card.
With you on that, Jason Wilde, hear him from 9 to noon, live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook today with the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Chewy, Strofe, Joshy with you. We will dive deeper into the idea of Cooper Kupp. Is it worth taking a flyer on the veteran receiver? We dive into that next. With you this morning, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee.